Our gospel reading is recorded in Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, bringing us through verse 15. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So he summoned his master's debtors one by one. He said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, what in the world is Jesus doing in our gospel reading today? I mean, what in the world are we supposed to learn about a crook who gets commended by his boss? He should be put in jail. He should pay restitution. What's going on? Why is Jesus doing this? I mean, what in the world are we supposed to learn from a crook? And how in the world does this crook become a part of our Savior's message to us? I don't really know in and of myself what's going on here. But I do know this. You're a manager, and I'm a manager of someone else's stuff. We came in this world with nothing. You and I are going to leave this world with nothing. We'll leave it all behind, and it all belongs to God. It's all His stuff. How have you been a manager of all his stuff, from the littlest to the biggest? How have you been faithful with very little? And how have you been faithful with a whole lot? Guilty. Think of all the ways we've taken what God has given to us and we've wrecked it. Or we've used it in inappropriate ways. Or we've pretended like it was all ours and no one else's and selfishly held on to it as if somehow it belonged to us and it wasn't God's. Think about it. Across all that you are, all that you have, including your own body, how have you managed all of God's stuff? Well, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You know a little bit about what God has done through His Son, and you want to do a better job. Amen? You see how challenging it is and how humbling it is to manage even the little things in your life. Amen? I mean, it's fascinating how little things can become bigger things when you don't manage the little things well. Still, in the end, you and I, we're no different than this crook. And just like this crook, we deserve to have the book thrown at us because we haven't been faithful. And we don't deserve to get anything that belongs to us in eternity because of it. And that's how Jesus wrapped up this portion of the story. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? The answer is no one, not God. But this is what we can learn from a crook. But it is interesting how this strikes the Pharisees, the strong Bible studiers, the strong, we're looking forward to the resurrection group, we're believing in the Messiah to come, even though they're rejecting God in flesh and blood, who is the Messiah to come. The Pharisees knew it was about them. It's also about us. And that's why we're guilty. But there's something we can learn about Jesus in this passage as well. Think about it this way. On the cross, we call them the seven words. They're like the seven phrases, or maybe the seven sentences of Jesus. One of the things he said on the cross is quite telling. He said, "It is finished." That's a commerce term. It's in the business world. And it means that the books are balanced. It means that the debt is paid in full. And so this is an amazing thing to think that Jesus, I mean, how much of your debt and my debt would he be willing to take off? Half? 20%? It's phenomenal to think about the kind of debt that we have racked up with God. And yet Jesus on the cross, by his sacrifice, taking upon himself all of our debt, he says, "Tetelestai, paid in full. It is finished. It is balanced." Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5, says it this way, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we in him would be the righteousness of God." Think about it. It's so unfair to the only one who didn't rack up any debt with God, but did it all perfectly. He takes all of ours. It's not fair to him. Luther called it the beautiful exchange. It's really quite an unfair exchange. You know, when we fail to carry out what God wants us to do without fault, that's called sin. Sin means we're missing perfection. And when we know clearly what God wants us to do and we say, I'm going to do it my own way, we call that trespassing. Or when God tells us what we don't do and we do it, we call that trespassing. And then there are things that you and I think up in our hearts and minds that God doesn't even think up. We call that wickedness. Listen, all those things Jesus took upon himself, hardly fair for him, but what he wanted to do to deliver us from all of our debt with God. Talk about a bailout. Talk about a stimulus package to change our lives. It is absolutely beautiful. In Colossians 2, Paul says it this way, and you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. Let's read it together. Having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. We are debt free, spiritually speaking. We are good with God. He holds no outstanding bill. We are free and clear. What a gift this is from God. And how effective is this sacrifice by Jesus? John the Apostle says it this way. He is the propitiation for our sins, the sacrificial atonement for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, the question is, what are you going to do about the debt of others? I know it's tempting to think that people owe you because of the way they've treated you and it was unfair. But who are they really sinning against? God. So like the crook, are you only going to forgive them 50%, 20%? What will you do with their outstanding bill? Anything less than tell them the good news that it's been paid in full by Christ. You know, it's interesting to think about what Christ has done. Saying paid in full, in a sense with his own blood, writing over all that God by his law has written up for us, canceled. But it's a legal thing that took place as well, not just a commerce thing. It's Jesus settling what the law has demanded and doing it in full. You're not just partially forgiven, you're fully forgiven. You're not just partially debt-free, you're fully spiritually debt-free. And so, you and I have the chance to share this good news with others who have sinned against us. Share forgiveness with them. And there are places in your life and my life where just letting them know that they are free will free us as well, so that we can go forward. And I know it can hurt. It can seem so unfair. But part of this beautiful exchange is sharing it with people who don't deserve it just like we don't deserve it, but need it just like we need it. And so we share it. We share it. You know, when I was a little boy, I would talk with my mom and dad about the ways I failed, and they would hold me accountable. They'd also forgive me. But everything changed when I was 15, when my dad died. I would confess my sins to my mom only to get yelled at and not absolved. And so who did I go talking to? Pastors in my life. It was pretty hard for mom, raising three teenagers, losing her husband, and just feeling lost herself. But what a gift it is for us to share the good news of forgiveness with people who are struck by how they have fallen short and what they've managed. But there's another question that needs to go along with this. And it's about you and no one else. What are you going to do with this freedom you have of being debt-free with God? You know, we're going through a nomination process where we're asking people to serve on our behalf. In some ways, actually in many ways, we're trying to rebuild our government as a congregation where we have people who serve on our behalf for us and also engage us. And we need men and women who will serve on our behalf in the freedom of Christ's love and forgiveness so that they can have a humility and a boldness to do the right things because they're the right things to do. If any organization in North Texas should set the standard in terms of integrity, it should be the church across traditions because of what Christ has done. And so we're asking men and women to serve on our behalf and to engage us and to help us accomplish efforts in caring for one another. It was so cool last night. We drove to the church building and Karen said, it's so nice that Larry Evans signed up to make all the food. And that was one less thing we had to do. And it was so cool to just see the kids. Larry made a hot dish and she decided to make things in threes, you know, like for the Holy Trinity. It was so cool. And so we had three different kinds of fruit we ate. And, you know, she had three different things in her casserole. And it was fun. A couple of the kids, they looked at me, Pastor. And they put up their thumbs up. And I kept thinking, how do they even know how to do that? You know, it's just so cool to see and to experience. But that's what ministry is. And what a gift we have in the freedom to be involved. You know, not everybody should serve in a specific position because your life is busy. But for those who can, when you get nominated in the freedom of Jesus, serve and live in that freedom and serve in that freedom. There's an opportunity for us to focus on some specific mission. Let's do that, but do it in the freedom. And across who and what you are, what are you going to do with this freedom of being debt-free with God? Maybe just tell him how much you're thankful for the love he has for you every day, all the time. How wonderful it is to know that Jesus didn't cancel out just some, but he canceled out everything so that now we know for sure we are at peace with God because of what Jesus has done. And I think that's what we can learn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.